Welcome to the River of Calm's Beyond the Music podcast. I'm your host, Ed Basil, and the River of Calm is music to soothe your soul. And on our Beyond the Music podcast, it gives you a closer look at the artists who are on the River of Calm. And today in our studio, we're lucky enough to have pianist and composer Neil Patton. Neil, welcome.
Hey, thank you, sir. Great to be here.
I'm glad we're here. And from what I know, we're here with you, keyboard side, correct?
That's right.
Very sweet. Well, great. Well, we're so glad to have you on board. You know, I know our community will want to know more about you and the guy behind the music that we do play on the River of Calm here. So let's start, as I always ask our artists, where did you start? When did you begin music?
Well, I started piano lessons when I was five. My family's very musical. My mom was still is a singer, and we also had music playing in the house. And my grandparents were musical too. But I started piano lessons with my next door neighbor when I was five. And about fourth grade, she moved away and moved to the teacher that I stayed with until I finished high school. But it was just something we'd go over and we'd bang pots and pans and march in circles and learned how to and that teacher actually had us composing from day one, which was fabulous.
That's thought-provoking. That really is. Wow.
Yeah,
that's cool.
She was great. And in fact, I just got in touch with her again, found her on Facebook. She's retired and living up in Washington, and it was really great to connect with her and send her some of the music that she helped start. So,
isn't that cool?
Yeah.
My story, I started at five also. And, you know, I was kicking and screaming the whole way.
Yeah, right.
But my former piano teacher lived at the same retirement home as my mother. So when I would go back to West Virginia, I would see the piano teacher. I would treat her like a rock star. And right. she thought I was freakish. I'm telling you, I was like, oh my God, it's you. Oh, I love you. So, well, I'm so glad you got connected back with yours. That's a good story.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Wow. And so you said your mom was a vocalist and your grandparents were musical too?
Yes. So there's always, always music happening. My growing up, even every Saturday when we do chores, there'd be Elton John, Keith Green, the Beatles, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, always, or classical, tons and tons of classical music, always playing on our stereo.
No kidding.
As far back as I can remember. So, yeah.
Nice. So I'm glad to hear that. You know, it's interesting how that can influence you, you know, and your thing. You know, again, I was just mentioning in a prior conversation, my parents, Sinatra, Carole King, Tony Bennett, and just what a great influence that can be for you.
Absolutely.
So your parents were supportive of you going towards music. Is that correct?
They were very much so. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, I looking back, I realized how absolutely fortunate I was to have that. I always loved music. I just didn't admit it. I didn't like practicing. But it wasn't until about seventh grade, so many years after I started, I found a songbook for one of my favorite rock groups at the time. And it hit me that suddenly I could play Mozart, I could play Bach, I could, you know, play all the dead guys, but I could play this music that I'm listening to in the car. I can play this music that's I'm listening to at home. And it changed everything. And I went to suddenly practicing twice a day, every day.
No kidding.
And it was, so my parents were always very supportive. My dad was very athletic. He's an outdoorsman, sports guy, hunter. And he, bless him, he came to every recital. He came to every event, every concert, and still taught me how to throw a football and how to catch a baseball. But he also realized that I was going to be very different from him and supported me all the way on that. So,
wow, yeah. That is really cool. Now, is your dad still with us or is he passed?
He passed away back in 2002, but my mom is still with us and she's up here in Eugene and she keeps an eye on us and we keep an eye on her. So
now, just for the importance for the people that got you started on this, what was your dad's name?
Larry.
Larry. And your mom's name?
Larry Patton. And my mom is Betsy. So
Larry and Betsy, shout out to them both. Wow.
Absolutely.
Okay, so when you were young, though, banging on pots and pans, did you ever think you would want to go into music? Or was there some other calling you thought you'd be?
Not, you know, not until that time in seventh grade. It was interesting. I was trying to think back what I wanted to be, and I really can't think of what I wanted to be other than maybe an artist, like a comic book artist. I was very artistic, loved to draw.
Comic book artist.
And, and that's kind of passed on to my daughter. She's majoring in illustration now in college, and
nice.
Loves to be a concept artist for movies and things like that. And she's got the gift that I never had. She's amazing.
That's nice to hear.
But my son is into animation, doing stop motion animation, and he's learning digital animation now. But
you are growing them there. Wow.
We're trying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to create a whole family of starving artists, but,
good one. But at least you got your album covers taken care of. So.
That's right. There you go. And my videos. Yeah. Yes. But yeah, I thought I'd maybe be an artist, but then once the bug bit me in the seventh grade, I actually could think of nothing else I wanted to be other than a musician. I wanted to be a rock star back then.
And, rock star, no kidding.
Pushed in that direction, got a paper route in middle school and high school to pay for my
first
synthesizer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got I still have it, an old Roland D50. It's here on the rack next to me. But yeah, that was kind of where I was headed. Once that hit, I once received the advice, if you can see yourself doing anything else other than music, go and do that thing. But I really couldn't. I really couldn't think of anything I wanted to do other than music, and I'm still doing it. So,
no kidding. Wow. That's a brave step. And it was, as I say, it's a calling. It's not like, oh, I'm going to get into music and make millions of dollars.
Right,
It's so different than that. So
yeah,
that was cool. And you had a supportive, with the help of Larry and Betsy, your parents,
yep.
You had support to go in that direction.
Absolutely. Yep.
And if you're practicing twice a day, you're motivated too.
Yeah, because by the time I still studied classical piano through high school and then into college, I majored in piano at the University of Oregon. Here in Eugene, but I was, you know, getting through high school, I was doing the paper out in the mornings. I was practicing piano 2 to 3 hours a day in the afternoons, plus homework and other items. Mm-hmm. So, it's just all I wanted to do.
Now you hit me at one thing there. If this is middle school or junior high school, whatever it was at that time, and you're practicing and you have a paper route in the morning. So you're up at like 4:30 or 5. Is that right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Same here. Oh my gosh. That was, I despise mornings ever since then.
That's right. I can step out on my back porch at night. If it's raining at night, there's a smell in the air here in Oregon that suddenly I'm 13 again and it's 4 a.m. and I'm delivering papers. You know that. You know what I'm talking about, right?
That
smell
totally
in the air.
Okay, so you're working, you know, and you're coming up and getting older there. And how did you get to full-time musicianship?
So I majored in music in college and met my wife there. My wife, Kathy, she is an amazing flute player. She's a flutist. And we perform together and work together a lot. And she's a great encourager for my art as well. So I met her in college. We got married in 1996. And right around, I was working, actually got out of college, worked in a machine shop, in the warehouse at a machine shop for several years. And all during that time, I started working, helping with music at my church, just volunteering, started that in college. And in 1995, they actually brought me on as an intern part-time, a part-time paid position. And then eventually they turned that into a part-time, not just internship, but a position there at the church. So I quit the machine shop and started teaching piano. And my father-in-law gave me his old upright, which is still right here near me. I have a grand piano now as well. But I started teaching piano back in 96. So I worked part-time at the church, part-time teaching piano. And that's actually where I am now. I'm still doing those very things. What I've added to that now is, which is what brought us into this conversation, is then I started getting back into composing and recording. And so And that's my third job. I work three jobs essentially. So
slacker.
Jeez. Yeah. That's why there aren't more albums.
No kidding.
So I do that. I work at my church, in a quarter time position. I teach piano as my main income. And, then I, been freelancing as a musician ever since college. Used to play a lot of weddings. Don't do that very much anymore, but background music, mm-hmm. parties, arranging anything musical I can do with computers, all that kind of stuff. So we actually have we run a couple businesses here at the home now between my mm-hmm. performing, recording, composing business, and then the teaching with a business we call Patton Music, which is, mm-hmm. all the other services I provide, that involve piano playing, arranging, music notation, the piano mm-hmm. teaching, all of that stuff. So my wife teaches flute as well.
Boy, you really have all your bells and whistles aligned, you know, or with supportive grandparents, parents, and marrying a musician.
Yeah.
You know, that's really cool. Now, I want to just, out of curiosity, you've been a teacher for over 20 years, pardon me. Uh-huh. And right now, we're recording this during the middle of the coronavirus in 2020. How has that affected your piano lessons teaching?
Pretty radically. Mm-hmm. I've been doing, for the last 2 months, all of my lessons have been online. I've been teaching through Zoom. Mm-hmm. And you can't see it, obviously, since we're just doing audio here, but I'm sitting at a little workstation I've built around my grand piano with a desk with mm-hmm. Bluetooth keyboard and mouse pad, audio interface. I've got my laptop. I've got a camera over the keyboard where I can show the kids my hands at the push of a button.
Wow.
And it's gone quite well. And I got to say, I have the most amazing families that are my clients. Mm-hmm. I hear nightmare stories from other piano teachers who have lost half their studios and people have been difficult. And my families have just hung in there through this. And
wow.
So 2 months of not seeing my students face to face, but actually yesterday I taught three lessons in person again, mm-hmm. with masks, and I'm using a laser pointer so I don't need to get close to the kids. And we've got, you know, sanitary mm-hmm. wipes and all kinds of things everywhere. But our county has been able to start opening up a couple weeks ago. And so I'm treating mm-hmm. my piano lessons as if it was a hair salon or a nail salon. And,
or an operating room with sterilization.
Wow. Right.
Gosh, no kidding. Well, that's cool that you have a supportive group of families, and that's a testament to your teaching too. And have you ever thought that you could be that teacher that somebody comes back to 30, 40 years from now and says, you are a rock star?
I'd love to have that. It's been kind of fun. Not many students stay in touch, but there's a handful that have over the years. And it's been pretty cool when I get those emails and those texts about, one is just finished, I think, his doctorate in marine biology. And
wow.
He still contacts me. He still plays piano for his own enjoyment, his own therapy. He comes home after being on the ocean for sometimes months at a time. And he's still playing music, and that's such a win for me that all these years later, these students are still, music is still therapy for them. I love that.
Oh, absolutely. And that's so comforting to hear, actually, that happens.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that. Now, let's talk about, you have three different jobs. Now, when are you even able to compose or write for yourself? Or is that calling even there right now?
It's a very good, I like how you asked that. I fit it in when I can. I fit it in sometimes at night, sometimes in the morning. I do have long periods of time when I'm not with students. It's mm-hmm. not an 8 hour a day proposition. It's just tiring when I do it because I'm actually an introvert. So mm-hmm. being with people a lot makes me, you know, pretty tired, but I fit it in when I can. Now, and to be honest, the way you asked that is interesting because the last couple of years have been a bit of a desert period for me. I haven't really been composing much just due to various things, requirements in my family and just things in my life. So it's been a bit of a dry spell, but I have little glimpses of it again. And I've actually been working on a fifth piano album now. And wow. I'm hoping this summer, I have a couple more weeks of my regular lessons, and then I'll have a lot more time this summer to really sit and create. And I'm really looking forward to wrapping up work on this next album. So,
okay. So when you do, and that's great news. So when you do decide you're going to, you know, write or compose, do these melodies come in your head, or do you need to sit at the piano and noodle around?
Yes. All of the above.
Perfect.
It depends. Quite often I'm sitting at the piano. The biggest tool I've used lately is just the voice recorder on my phone, just to capture ideas. Yeah. And phones have gotten better.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Much better quality recordings.
Oh man, you've got all those snippets of ideas recorded down, and when are you going to go back for them? I'm talking to my inner self. Sorry.
Right. That's the thing. I've got folders and folders. I'll go back and I'll sort them. This is a good vocal song. This is a good song for church. This is a good piano song. This is a good piano and flute piece. You know, I try and hear what the instrumentation would be. And, other times it's what's really funny, and my kids laugh at me because my showers are really long, because for some reason when I'm in the shower is when I'm relaxed and I'll get inspired and I'll start singing, and I'm trying to sing things in my head so I can remember them. it's kind of funny. The sounds that must be coming out of the bathroom.
Oh, they laugh now. Oh, they laugh now. Yeah.
Dad's singing again. So I get ideas. Sometimes I do write things out once I get I'll get melodies either at the piano or in my head, and I'm always recording them. I'll come back. Certain pieces, like there's a piece on my Solitaire album, like that one that was called The Shepherd. I actually wrote that one out note for note in Finale on my computer so that I would maintain the simplicity of the piece. My default is to play too many notes. And so, I have to force myself to keep things simple and back things off. And so if I have one of those pieces, I break out the pencil and paper, the digital pencil and paper, write things out so that I have those with me in the studio. And,
That's cool to hear. It's so fascinating to hear. Everyone has a different journey in this. You know,
exactly.
There's no one exact way. Yeah, this is how you write and compose and come up with, you know, an album. But for you, with the soon to be 5 CDs and what you have going, is it possible with all those songs that you can name a favorite song? Let's just say for right now. It doesn't have to be tomorrow or yesterday. Today.
There's one I'm particularly proud of. It's fun to play. It was extremely fun to compose, and it reflects a deeper side of me. There's a piece on my, by the way, I actually have a rock album I did back in 1998, which not many people know about, but if you hunt for it, it's out there on Spotify and Apple Music and stuff. So it's vocals and a band and everything. But then I have 4 piano albums, and my third piano album is called Nocturne. No, my third piano album is called Between Shadow and Light.
That is correct. 2015, right?
Correct. Yes. And that's a whole album about healing and finding hope in the midst of darkness. And the title track is called Nocturne, Between Shadow and Light. It's dedicated to my parents. I mentioned my dad, Larry. He passed away after a long, long illness. And that piece reflects on, it's dedicated to both of my parents and their journey of, you know, trading roles in life, and her becoming the breadwinner and him becoming the homemaker, and their journey through what I call the Valley of the Shadow of Death, and the hope that they displayed to the world. And I love that. So that piece is dedicated to them.
Well, we play Nocturne Between Shadow and Light on the River of Calm, actually. And let's take a listen to it here and dedicate it to Larry and Betsy, both. For you. So this is Nocturne Between Shadow and Light by Neil Paton. Thank you. And there we have it. That's Nocturne Between Shadow and Light by Neil Paton on Between Shadow and Light, your 2015 CD. Beautiful, and what a testament to your parents.
Oh, thanks, man. Thank you.
No, very cool on that, and I appreciate you sharing on that. Now, where can we find all of your music, including your rock album?
Well, you can find there all the usual suspects. Everything's on Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes. Mm-hmm. Best place to buy my CDs is really coming to my own website, just neilpaton.net, neilpaton.net. Streaming is wonderful. Streaming is a great way to get our music out. Streaming does not pay very much.
And at the grocery store, they don't care if you stream. They want cash.
That's what I always say. And so one CD sale is worth hundreds and hundreds of streams. And so, so all my CDs are available. Also, I have sheet music available for most of my albums. And I will soon have sheet music for my most recent album, Solitaire, hopefully by midsummer. So,
excellent. And we'll make sure to put a link to this in our show notes too, from neilpaton.net. Okay. Musically, with all of you've done since you were a kid up to now, what would you say are you most proud of in that journey?
There's lots of things on the way I've really enjoyed. I'm proud of each of my albums for each of their own things, but probably the thing that comes to mind is a couple years ago, I had an incredible privilege of performing my music live on stage with a local dance company called Dance Veritas here in Eugene. Mm-hmm. And they put together and choreographed to, 10 or 11 of my pieces, mostly from Between Shadow and Light, but from all of my albums, all of my first three piano albums. And it was an amazing experience working with these six dancers, young women, who took my music and reinterpreted in some ways I never would have expected, and then gave me the immense privilege of being on stage with them. So I was there with on a Steinway D piano as they danced around the piano, setting up stories to tell to my music. And the first concert we did together was probably the most emotional night of my life. It was incredibly powerful. In fact, there is a very simple video of it, of the production. We did a later performance of it on my YouTube channel. And it's a single camera set up in the back, but we did record it, had a microphone inside the piano, so it's good audio quality. And you can kind of get an idea.
We'll hunt that down.
It's called, it's on my own YouTube channel, Neil Paton, Neil Paton Music. And if you just search for it there, but it's Dance Veritas Between Shadow and Light is the name of the show.
Got it. All right. I remember seeing a snippet of that on Facebook at one time, I think.
Yeah. And I even have I did a professional video for my piece, Surface Tension, and three of the dancers came and danced in that video as well. So that's also available on YouTube. So,
excellent. We'll definitely check that out and have our community check it out too. Wow. Now, with all this going on, Neil, people know you as the music guy, the piano teacher, the composer, all this stuff. What's one thing that we don't know about you? Do you have any deep, dark secrets?
I'm kind of a geek. I've always been a Star Wars fan since I was a kid, especially of the old movies. But what a lot of people may not know is I am quite a Tolkien fan.
Really?
I love the books, Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, The Silmarillion. I'm currently working my way slowly through Christopher Tolkien's son, put together a 12-volume series of books called The History of Middle-earth, and it's all about how Tolkien created the story starting back in, 1913. And I'm almost done with book two out of the 12, but I've bought the whole set, and I'm really just enjoying seeing how he created this whole world. And
no kidding.
I just love it, and it's something people just go, really? Okay.
Hey, we're not judging you here. No,
I'm proud of it. So
Well, we're not judging this. Now, the shower sounds that come out of your shower, right. That's a questionable thing. Lord of the Rings, not a problem at all. That's cool to hear, actually. Wow. Okay. So with that, the Lord of the Rings, let's transition to you have a musical wish or musical wand that can grant one wish. What would one musical wish be that you would grant, either to you or to the world?
Well, I'm definitely going to be selfish. I'm going to go with two. I'm going to cheat. I wish I had the time to sit and work more and compose more like that. And I'll get part of that wish this summer for a while. But the other thing is I would just love to, I have a wonderful studio here. I don't record here, but I've got a good Kawai grand piano here. I would love someday to have a concert size instrument in my home, in my studio where I could record here at home.
And nice.
Definitely. Full on dream would be some kind of Fazioli grand or something like that. But
it's your wish.
You know, Yamaha CFX or something like that. But those are my two dreams, is the time and then that tool right there to be able to record and work at home. And so someday.
Nice. Okay, that's right. The future hasn't been invented yet, you know?
That's right.
I love that saying. So you never know what's coming up. All right.
That's right.
So with that, now on the grand scheme of life, the River of Calm buys every single stinking billboard in this United States, all right? And it's up for you to put a message up there. What is your message?
Well, I would say, because like I said, I've mentioned that I am a pastor and stuff, I would just say that you are loved. And you're wow. loved and you are liked by the God who made you. And that's given me great hope. That gives me the ability to get out of bed in the morning and then share that with other people, with my students and the people I serve and the people who listen to my music, I hope. So.
Wow. Very cool. Very cool. That is excellent. Wow. You know, it's been a real pleasure getting to know you, Neil. And now I'm going to wrap it up by saying, there you have it, a behind-the-scenes look at pianist and composer Neil Patton on the River of Calm, Beyond the Music podcast. And I'm your host, Ed Basil, and the River of Calm is music to soothe your soul. May the calm be with you.